There is nothing more beautiful than seeing all these babies about to be baptized. And I realized, like, that could be the sermon today. Just keep your eyes on these beautiful children. But here we go. As you know, the day after Thanksgiving has become a big shopping day in the United States, also known as Black Friday. And on Friday, you may have seen on the news an 11-year-old girl named Nika from Northfield, Minnesota. She happens to be a member of my former congregation and Pastor Rudd's former congregation as well, Bethel Lutheran in Northfield. And so we were particularly tuned into this story. But it was about this remarkable girl, Nika, who has inspired a movement of kindness. She had this idea about 5 years ago when Nika and her mom were chatting about Black Friday and the crowds and the occasional fights that break out between people over, you know, the material goods that are for sale. And Nika, this six-year-old, said at the time, "What if people just did nice things on that day? Wouldn't that make it better?" And so from there, her Project 100 Kind Deeds Day was born. Every Black Friday, she and her mom and dad would do acts of kindness in the community and inspire a whole bunch of others to do the same. And that continued this year as well. But this year, it was a little bit different because Nika's father was diagnosed with a glioblastoma in April and died in September. And so her mom wasn't so sure this day of kindness was going to happen. But Nika said, "Oh no, it's going to happen, and it's going to be bigger than ever," and it was. The past Black Friday became not just 100 Deeds of Kindness, but 1,000 Deeds of Kindness Day, beginning in Northfield and spanning across the Twin Cities. And they did things like walk dogs at the Humane Society, buy food for people at the food court, write kind notes to people, collect socks and toothbrushes for various shelters, and so many more creative things. And as I watched the day unfold on social media and on the news at night, I was struck with how Nika's idea gives credence to what we hear in today's scripture passages. And again, what I was saying at the beginning, the fact that we've got these beautiful children in our midst, this is what it's all about. A little child shall lead them. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, a season which inspires hope and points us to the Christ child. We hear stories from Isaiah and the Gospel of Luke. We hear that God's kingdom is established through a baby. We see that God's kingdom happens when wolves lie with lambs, leopards lie with goats, children play in adders' dens, and all know the gift of peace. We trust God's kingdom is proclaimed every time life springs forth from death. And so babies and children in our midst give us eyes to see God's kingdom coming to us today. We all long for lives of peace, of hope, and forgiveness, just as the Israelites did in today's Old Testament passage, and as Mary remembered the promises of old as she was told she would carry the Son of the Most High. We know that God's answer to our deepest longings is that God chooses to be born as a baby. But why would God choose to be born into the world this way? I think Nika's 1,000 Deeds of Kindness story gives us a lot of insight into that. Because there is something about the power of a child, and most especially the power of a baby. You can't argue with a baby. Babies don't try to compete with you or stand up to you. They're not know-it-alls. They don't try to impress you or prove their worth. They don't try to out-muscle you. Babies just want to be loved. And they draw out the best in us. So God chooses to reveal God's self in just that way, as a baby, full of innocence and vulnerability and pure joy. God's power is not made in the ways we think it should be made, the ways of the world. God's power comes in a way that completely reorders creation. And when creation is reordered in this way, when babies become the biggest power, when one particular baby becomes a king, we will know peace. And not just peace in the future, but peace right here and right now. I'm reminded of the Christmas Truce of 1914, which many of you have probably heard about, where at the beginning of World War I, thousands of soldiers put down their weapons, stepped out of their trenches, and opposing troops spent Christmas singing carols together, playing soccer on the battlefield, cutting each other's hair. The memory of that day, which is still commemorated, united the nations, affirmed our human longing for peace, and showed us that Christ keeps showing up in our everyday lives. Even though many of us probably live very comfortable lives, we all have moments of disillusion and anguish and despair. We all have situations that distress us. Sometimes these things come out of nowhere, like the sudden diagnosis of an illness or a sudden death. Sometimes they are unraveling for a while, like the end of a relationship. Sometimes it comes as a job loss or having to make the choice to move to a care facility. Sometimes it's wrestling with addiction, compulsion, anger, all the things that get in the way of everyday life. Sometimes it's recognizing our limits, that we just don't have it, what it takes to do it all on our own. We don't have the control in this world. Sometimes it's admitting we've made a mistake and yet not knowing what to do about it or how to move forward. We all have personal moments that stop us in our tracks. But of course, we know they're all over our communities, nation, and world as well. It's so easy to despair and ask, do branches really spring from the stump of a fallen tree, like Isaiah proclaims? Does life really come from death? Isaiah says yes, and illustrates how it will look and how it will happen. And we can say yes too, and proclaim what it looks like in our midst, and cling to the hope that God promises in the future. It looks like 1,000 acts of kindness in the midst of disgruntled and impatient shoppers while grieving the loss of a beloved dad. It looks like soldiers dropping their weapons in Christ's name in 1914 in the midst of a massive world war. It looks like babies about to be baptized right in our midst, giving us hope and assuring us of the promise that is ours in life and in death. It looks like an unwed mother giving birth to a baby who will become the savior of the world. Mary is told she is the favored one, God's favored one, and yet she probably encountered questions and speculation about how she could possibly be with child. She probably wondered how she, a simple peasant girl with no family name or fortune or status, could possibly be the one to carry the Christ child. And she most certainly would be anguished to know that her son would grow up to die on a cross in her very midst. And yet this is what God calls God's favored one. Being favored does not mean we have the biggest bank account, the most accolades, or the most comfortable, glamorous life. Being favored means that when hardship comes, it does not have the last word. A tree falls, but a shoot springs forth. Christ dies, but Christ rises again. And Christ promises to never, ever leave us, for his kingdom has no end, as Pastor Callen just read. This is our promise. This is our Advent hope as Christ keeps coming near. God comes to us as a child, filled with peace and promising that life always, always springs forth from death. Thanks be to God. Amen.